We're delighted to have with us today at our Those With The Days studio here in the Museum of Broadcast Communications a very lovely lady, a beautiful singing voice, a beautiful person. We have Carmel Quinn joining us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
You just knocked me out with that Irish brogue.
Oh.
so beautiful.
It's funny, isn't it? I don't notice it. I'm here a long time.
Mm. When did you...
1955. Right. But listeners, I was very young. And it seems that I don't notice it, or my children don't notice it. But then when their pals call up looking for one of them, they'll tell them after, I spoke to your mother. Oh, I love the way she talks. And then they realize I have an accent. I say, what accent?
Well, is that when you came in 1955? Did you move to the United States at that time, or had you still maintained ties in Ireland?
I just had gotten married, and my husband wanted to come to America, and I was very happy in Dublin, where I come from, because I was starting to sing there, and I was home, and I had a good life. Really a good life, and but you know, wherever he would go, I would go. And I enjoyed doing that. So women's lib, don't worry. You know, because I just wanted to be with him.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
When I came to America, I didn't think I would continue with my singing. Because I didn't mind where I sang. I was happy singing in the kitchen. As long as I could sing, it didn't matter whether it was on a stage or in the kitchen. So, of course, we knew of all the great American singers. I was a big Joe Stafford fan. I loved Joe Stafford. And I used to try and take off Joe Stafford. See the pyramids along the Nile, you know, and all these things.
You just lost your brogues.
Yes, you see, I think Joe Stafford. So, but you see, I hadn't heard of Arthur Godfrey. I mean, we had films, of course, but we'd no TV when I left, and we didn't know the TV people. So we'd an apartment, and I was singing, and people next door in the apartment said, you ought to try for the Godfrey show. And I didn't, as I say, know him. And it all started. And that was very quick. That was within a month of my coming here.
Someone said you ought to try out for the Godfrey show.
Yeah.
And within a month you were on it?
Well, it's a bit of a long story. You don't have to, I don't know how much time we have.
We love long stories.
This will go on till the autumn. You see, what happened was my neighbor was, she'd hear me through the wall. You know, singing. And so she said to me, you should try for the talent scout. So I didn't know, as I tell my children who are singers and actresses, and they say, Mom, how did you make it? And I say, the grace of God. Because I didn't really know anyone or much of anything. My husband was back in Ireland, and I always seemed to try out things when he was away.
He went back on business?
Yes, he went back on business. And whenever he was away, I tried things. So myself and this lady went down to to CBS on Madison Avenue. And a girl, a very nice, polite girl behind the desk said, oh, yes, the Godfrey Talent Scouts. Well, there's a six-month wait. So I said to her, because it took me an awful lot to get the courage to go this far. So I said to her, 6 months? But sure, we might be all dead in 6 months. Well, she didn't appreciate that. And I said, we're here now. Sure, I might as well sing while I'm here, because God knows when I'll come back. So she said, just a second. And she went back in, and she came out, and she said, they want you to go on in. And she, like, shook her head as much as say, they'll throw her out. I won't have to throw her out. So I went in, and this panel were there, and they said, you're just over from Ireland. I said, that's right. And one of the panel was Jack Carney, Art's brother. And Larry Puck. I got to know them all after. I didn't know anybody. And a lady at a piano. And they said, well, you know there's a six-month wait for the audition. So I said, well, yes, but I feel like as I'm here and I'm in the humor, I could sing now, do you see? And you can decide, why wait 6 months? I gave them that whole thing. We might be all dead. Very Irish, always thinking we'll be dead shortly. So they said, well, all right then, where's your music? Oh, well, I said, I didn't bring music because I just thought we'd talk about it. I don't know what. So the lady at the piano said, well, I can play. You know, but she knew the very conventional when Irish eyes are smiling. Mm-hmm. And I was doing very unconventional, very obscure Irish songs. I mean, Irish eyes are smiling is lovely, but I always sort of thought of it as at the end of a party when you'd be leaving people to the door. Mm-hmm. They'd turn and sing, when I, you know, and I never thought of doing it for an audition. So I said, well, let me sing these songs first. So off I went on my own with no music, just like the lady mm-hmm. heard me in the apartment, as I was used to singing unaccompanied. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just sang. So I sang one song after another, and I'd look at the panel, and they all had their heads in their hands, as much to say, dear God, let her go. And so finally I looked in and said, so, do you want me to keep going? You know, because now I was getting hungry and I thought lunch would be nice. And they said, oh, could you do another one? So I did some more. And they came out and they said, this was Friday. Mm-hmm. They said, we're putting you on Monday.
My goodness.
Now, not alone was there a six-month wait for the audition, but then there'd be another 6 months, you know.
Mm-hmm. Before they would get you
putting me on Monday. I mean, when I tell my daughters this, who have to go on these heartbreaking auditions, mm-hmm. the way mm-hmm. I stumbled in on everything I've ever done, I just stumbled.
Well, I don't think too many of the other people who were on that show would like to hear this story either, because they probably had to wait the 6 months. And
they
the
did,
months.
And
yeah.
see, uh-huh. then when I did go on, I sang a song called How Can You Buy Killarney? And had the big orchestra. Mm-hmm. And then when I went on the actual show and saw that huge camera that's on display here at the museum, uh-huh. oh, it looked like a huge mm-hmm. monster with a big red heartless eye. And I said, does that thing have to be on the light? You know, if it was a green one. So they said, yeah, but don't worry about it. Just sing away. Mm. So I did, and I don't know how I won. This meter thing that clicked over mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. went way over, and Arthur, I hadn't met him yet. He's there as the audience is mm-hmm. the judge, and mm-hmm. whoever wins then comes out and sits with him. And
right.
So he called me out and said, the Irish girl has won, let's take her out here. And suddenly, it was all over, and suddenly I felt so emotional, I felt so touched that this group of strangers would be really applauding me to such a degree. I had not one soul there except my neighbor, the lady from the next apartment. Mm-hmm. I had nobody there. They offered me 5 tickets, and I didn't know 5 people.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And I cried inside, uh-huh, uh-huh. And she says, I said to them, I'm not going out. So Arthur said, bring her on out. And I said, I'm not going out. So I didn't go out. And he said, you'll see her in the morning. So the next morning, I was to be on for 3 mornings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on the 3rd morning, he said to me, well, we kind of like you. And I said, that's nice. He said, would you like to stay? And he always laughed at my answer because I said, I'd have to think about it. Because I really didn't know now, did uh-huh. I want this daily?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It was a daily grind, uh-huh. you know. So he said, well, you think about it and we'll be back. And I stayed 6 years.
Now that included the morning show.
Morning
he was
show.
Doing, and then the weekly
and the Wednesday night
night
big
program.
Production uh-huh. show. Uh-huh. It was great fun.
You came in on the Godfrey show just after I think Marion Marlowe had been there before.
Marion was there. Mm-hmm. She was there, and Frank Parker, uh-huh, the tenor, mm-hmm, the McGuire sisters,
oh, yes, uh-huh,
Lou Ann Sims, Halle Loki, the Hawaiian, mm-hmm, girl, Tony Marvin, the announcer.
That's right, Arthur.
Yeah, well, I just did a concert with the Boca Raton Symphony, uh-huh, and it was really lovely because when they were announcing me, I was at the side, and the next thing I heard the orchestra playing, "Seems Like Old Times." And the next thing I heard voiceover, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Boca Raton Symphony." And it was Tony Marvin.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, yeah.
As a matter of fact, since then they've kept Tony as their spokesman. Oh, so he's working.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah,
terrific.
And in the end I got roses. And who comes up and gives me the roses? Frank Parker.
Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Gee,
and
so
the
nice.
Last month I was in Arizona singing, uh-huh, and the McGuire sisters came in to see me, and we did Danny Boy together. And it was just, you know, and the McGuire sisters look exactly, mm-hmm, like they did then.
Well, so do you.
Well, not bad. We're wearing well.
Now, before you came to the United States with your husband after you had gotten married, had you done any professional singing in Dublin?
Yes, uh-huh. I had started, and I'd worked in the Theatre Royal and in the Capitol Theatre. And then you were the girl singer with, mm-hmm, the orchestra, mm-hmm, and there'd be a line of girls dancing. There'd be a comedian, a couple of comedians, and a skit. Like,
uh-huh,
you know, like the Gleason show would have a skit.
Yes, uh-huh.
So you were thrown into the skits. You know, and
so you got a little
oh yeah, you'd be the daughter,
acting,
or you'd be the sister, or you'd be the little messenger girl. But whatever you were working with wits. I'm, mm-hmm, talking of quick wits who change the script every day. And so little Carmel had to hop too, and so I learned, mm-hmm, to ad lib quickly. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, if I had a part where I have to say, "I'm going out to buy the bread. I'm going to the grocer's to get the bread," you know, mm-hmm, in answer to them saying, "Where are you going?" Then they wouldn't ask me where I was going. And I'd say, "I'm going to the grocer's for the bread." And they'd look at me and I'd see the devilment. They'd say, "Why?" And so, you know, and so you had to keep seeing. And it was great fun. Mm-hmm. You came off those shows feeling we'd fall all around the place.
That you'd have a good time.
We'd have a great time. Yeah. And the audience began to get in on it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They knew what we were, and the manager would come down and say, "Could I see the script, please?"
Where is it written?
Yeah. So we had all that, and believe me, that's, you know, it's a marvelous experience. And on top of that, totally enjoyable. I didn't know. I never had much of an opinion of myself, you know, but the audiences in Dublin are very good. They're hard, mm-hmm, because a lot of people are very talented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most people sing. Most people are very witty. So, you know, you better be up there and doing something. And when they like you, they're unstinting, you know. And if they don't, God help you.
Well, I think you have found that American audiences have taken to you very well over all these years.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Have cheers and standing ovations after every show, don't you? Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. My father, Lord rest him, used to write to me and say, he'd meet Americans visiting Ireland who'd say, "We saw Carmel in Carnegie Hall," or "We went to see her in such a place."
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling us all. I do funny bits about my family, mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm, about my aunts, and, you know, growing up in Dublin, a lot of comedy in my act.
Mm-hmm.
And my father would say to me when I go home, "And you mean to tell me you tell the Americans about us?" And I'd say, "Yeah." And he'd say, "But do you mean to tell me that they enjoy it?" I'd say, "They seem to." "My God, they're easily pleased, you know." So they thought what I was doing was, well, ho-hum. And it was being so well accepted here. It was such fun.
Well, I'm sure it's the telling of it as well.
Yeah.
And there is a, you know, you don't realize you have an accent or a brogue or whatever, but it is so delightful to hear and so charming, and I think that captivates the American audience as well.
Well, I've been blessed.
You mentioned Carnegie Hall. Now, you have practically made a career out of Carnegie Hall appearances. How many times have you appeared at Carnegie Hall?
Done 27.
27.
This year, please God, be 28. It's like home to me, Carnegie Hall. I love the theater. It's a beautiful, and all the fans got used to coming, and we have every age. You know, it's my daughter's friends, my son's friends, they come. They enjoy it. So it's lovely, you know, when people can enjoy, like a mother and father will come, and maybe they'll haul an unwilling son. You know, do this for your mother.
Yeah.
If it's the last thing you do, do this for me.
Enjoy it or else, right?
I never ask much of you. But it's such fun when that young person comes to me and said, I really enjoyed it. It was great, because a lot of the young people are not used to one-on-one. And that's my show.
Yeah.
It's straight in the eye, and it's, you know, they feel it gets personal. And at first, especially in nightclubs, if I come right over and put my hand on your shoulder and say, how are you? They sort of say, oh, she's talking to me, you know, because they're used to the big concerts where there's 20,000 people and it's just booming sound system. Where is the person? I mean, it's wonderful.
You're lost. Well, no, the actual person is lost in the distance and in the sound, the amplified sound, that's for sure. Yeah.
So it's great experience. And this year, I'll be going over to Dublin to televise the parade from Dublin back to America via satellite.
The St. Patrick's Parade?
Yeah.
Ah,
won't
wonderful.
That be fun?
Oh, we'll have to look for that. That's going to be great.
So,
well, you keep busy now. How much in a year's time? How many appearances do you make? How
I easily work 6-7 months of the year. You know, not all together. You know, but I love to work. And now that my family are all raised and, you know, have their own lives, and they're great, my family. They're good to me. I you know, I feel God has been very good to me. I feel everything I have is through the grace of God. And I feel he gave me some talent, and I use it. And whatever I do, all credit goes to God, because it's wonderful that I can keep going. I think I'm working harder now than years ago, and I have energy. And I but the fun is, I love it. So I can go now wherever I want and stay. I don't have to be worrying about the kids. You know, they're worrying about mother. Where is she now? Last I heard, she's in Chicago, you know. But I'm very grateful that I love it. When I'm on stage, it's like I'm in the kitchen. That's how at home I feel on the stage, you know. And I have that feeling with you. You have that. Sometimes I'm shy off stage. But with people like you who have this marvelous listening ability.
Well, I like to be in the kitchen with Carmel Quinn. That's
nice.
So we just bake some Irish soda crackers or something.
Yeah,
like
soda
that.
Bread.
Soda bread, yeah. And a, not above having a nip or two either, right?
See, especially weather like this permits. Well, see, my work now is radio, television, concerts in regular concert halls, nightclubs, you know, wherever the work is.
So you have an opportunity to do a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah. And I do a lot of speaking engagements.
Straight speaking engagements.
Straight speaking engagements. Oh, I'll throw in a song.
Oh,
you know.
I can't imagine.
But it's termed a speaking engagement, and we have a lot of fun on those. Yeah.
Well, we're so delighted that you were able to stop by and visit with us. And
thank
we
you.
Look forward to, I know you have records out. And some things, some of those are on tapes. And
Lots of
and,
things, yeah.
So folks can not be too far from Carmel Quinn on that front.
Yes.
Look forward to an occasional television appearance.
Yes.
Or something on the air, on the radio.
Yeah. And when I come back to Chicago, if I'm working in a club here, I want you to come and see me.
I want to come and see you.
I'll treat you.
Oh, well, those are the magic words.
Yes.
Listen, we want to thank God, too, for everything that he's done for you.
Exactly.
And provide us with all that fine entertainment
right.
that you have. Thanks, Carmen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Glad to have you with us today.